Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my house. 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 The Rodney Jackson Show. 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 The Rodney Jackson Show. The Rodney Jackson Show. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house.
Hello, hello. Welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show. I'm Rodney Jackson, introducing my co-host, the lovely Carolyn Sherrard. How you doing, honey?
Hey, hey. How's it going? Hello, everybody.
It's good to hear. It's good. I mean, it's like a ghost. You're in the house.
I know. You know, I feel so much. I feel missed, but I feel so much love that I'm back. You know, this East Coast, West Coast time difference is something, you know. But, you know, it's okay. I'm back. I'm back. I'm making it do what it do.
I guess it is right on the cusp for you. It's you 2 hours, 2 hours difference, huh?
Right.
So 5 to 7 there.
Exactly. And, 7 to 9 here. Then I had my big dinner, so, and it was amazing. So
yeah,
you know.
Tell us about your dinner. Tell us about that whole little thing. And you know, I'm in the Bay Area. I'm up here with Laker Girl, Jay King, Kay White, Sabella Dell. We all up here hanging out. She's up at the Razz Room tonight. So I didn't get to upload your show, your commercial. Tell us about your ministry.
Okay, first of all, I want to say I feel so left out. I mean, why am I still here and you all are there? I don't understand.
Because you didn't go on the plane and come down.
Oh, I guess that makes sense, huh?
A busy woman like yourself, you don't have no time for little yuppies like us.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Okay, I guess if I got a ticket, I will be there, huh?
Yeah. Tell me about your thing. What's it called?
Well, what it happened, well, what we do, we have a marriage ministry, and we do counseling, and we do all different types of events that promote healthy marriages. So what we, our motto is, we're declaring war on divorce, and it's called Twain Ministries, and stands for Teaching While Addressing Intimate Needs. Not enough out here to encourage marriages, so that's what we're called to do. And anyhow, every year we have a big annual ball. And this year our ball was, the theme was Hollywood style. So it's taking your love out Hollywood style. So we had a big red carpet event when people came. We had the biggest 7-foot crystal ballroom is what we rented out. And when people got off the elevator, they walked right onto the paparazzi with the video, the red carpet, interviews with the couples, and it was real cool. Then we had a 5-course meal, had a comedian. We had a couple of, we call it our local celebrities, live entertainment, of course, featuring Mark Harris and The Project was our live music. And we had a couple of ladies who have CDs out, you know, jazz and contemporary gospel. So they did a little singing for us, and we had a lot of slow dancing. I know for some of the young people that sound a little played out, but all kind of good stuff, lots of gifts, surprises. It was a real exciting night.
We're great. And this is in St. Louis, of course, the little red carpet moments, and you just had a bunch of what is this called? It's just one on the process. My wife's out there. She's out running around the Bay Area shopping, spending up all the money.
Tell her to buy me something.
She's buying her a little get up for tonight to go see Karen. I'm so excited. But anyway, back to your thing. So you had all the people, you had all your couples, and you did the little song and dance, and that's cool. I wish we could have I wish I could have been down there. That seems like fun. I'm going to have to definitely make it next year for sure.
Definitely.
Is there a, give a phone number for people that might be interested in getting down there next year and seeing what you got going on? Is there a number on the website?
Right, and one in the St. Louis area, but, yeah, we're going to e-blast it. We'll definitely be on the website. But the phone number you can call to get more information would be area code 314-699-5607. Of course, you can ask for me, and I can give you all the information that you need. We like to network, you know, in and out of state with different couples, get different ideas. But most of all, if you're interested in married or getting married, let's link up and, you know, get this thing, you know, tight. Where marriages become what God ordained them to be again. You know, marriage, people are getting away from wanting to be married or committed to the marriage union. And marriage is great, isn't it, Rodney?
It is. I'm not one that was probably would have said that a while ago, but none of my friends that know me thought I would ever get married, let alone have two kids, or have two kids and let alone get married.
Right.
But, yeah, marriage has been, fantastic. I must say, it's been cool. If the two people can get together and communicate and work out problems, period, just work out problems.
It can marriage be great.
Is cool.
I mean, you're a great dad, you're a great husband, and look, you never thought you would be, but what do you know?
No, I never thought I wouldn't. No, you got that wrong. I never thought I wouldn't be a good dad. I just never thought I would be a dad. It's
well,
more like that.
I meant you never thought you would be a husband.
Yeah, I didn't know if that would happen. But my baby's in the house. So we're going to have a real good show today. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We had the pastors on. I don't know if Mr. Swan's going to call in today. I guess Chris was busy, but we do have a pastor by the name of Leonard Jupp. We're going to talk about behind the scenes of the church, pick up where we left off. If you have any questions that you want to ask at all that you're uncomfortable with when it comes about churches, please let it fly. Call in, press 1. For those of you listening on the computer, call in on your phone, 347-205-9366. Ask Pastor Jupp anything you want to ask, anything at all. And we also going to have on the show, I met this brother, I was playing ball, and, I'm 45, 46, somewhere around that area, thinking I'm young, and I went out and played ball. And I seen this big black brother, he's a big yoke cat. I got my boys with me. And he walking up, and he start talking to me, and they're running a camp. It's called it's about that basketball. I'm going to bring him on and let him tell you about it just for you people that's out in the Los Angeles area. If you're interested in getting your kids into some people that are knowledgeable about basketball and just getting them some training. Because since I've been coaching this little league up at Balboa, it's a trip. You know, a lot of parents, they just don't have a lot of time. They're working. You know, and it kind of, for some parents that's working a lot, it's kind of hard to be getting out on a Saturday, playing the games, of course, and then trying to get a one day a week practice in. And parents is just, they dropping their kids off and leaving them. They'll leave them there with me. I'm like, go ahead, honey. You know, leave them, I'll watch them, and then they come back and get them. So these cats, they offer a platform to teach them not only, and it's really babysitting, you can't do nothing in an hour. I'm trying to do as much as I can in 1 hour. I get 1 hour a week with these kids, and then they come in and play a game, you know. And this happens to be one of them games where you can't even call timeouts. So we don't get a lot of personal time with them. So let me see if I can get Kenyatta on here real quick. Kenyatta, is this 310-804?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, sir. We're here.
Okay, Kenyatta, first turn your computer down.
Okay.
Make your feet.
How's that? Any better?
Let me see. Hello. Thank you.
Yeah, hello.
Can
you hear?
I can hear you.
Okay, about that basketball here.
And you might want to come off of that speaker too. Come on the phone.
Is that better?
You there?
We're here.
You're kind of echoing, brother, but go ahead. Tell us a little bit about your program. You was an awesome brother, and the funny thing is he knows my cousin Jay and AK. He know all my little family. And and we weren't even talking about them. We just started talking about the program, and I don't know how he even mentioned Jay's name. Radio station, I told him I did the radio station. We had Welcome to My House, and then he mentioned Jay, and then he knew AK, and the story was you know, that was the story from there. So go ahead and tell us about your program, Kenyatta.
Well, about that basketball, it's just that. It's about basketball. It's about the fundamental aspect of the game, the fact that we want to introduce what was introduced to me with basketball, which was a lot of life. I want a lot of experiences. We want to give the fundamentals, just reinforcing that, as well as a supporting system, being a pillar in the community for these kids. As you mentioned earlier, a lot of kids today are like, they call them latchkey children, latchkey kids. We want to give them a place where it's a safe place that they can come and play ball, get an understanding of the concepts that we want to get across, which is, you know, team defense, being very intense, playing with passion. You know, I'm a Celtic fan, so team is definitely what we try to get, you know, the message across to every player that we come across. I have a great staff with me, Alvin Castro, Randy Narciso, which is right here with me.
Yeah, thanks, Kenyatta. I'll go ahead and give a little bit more background as well. So my name is Randy Narciso, and thank you for having us on the radio blog today. I really appreciate the time. Again, from About That Basketball, I'm one of the co-founders. There's three of us. Unfortunately, okay. Coach Castro couldn't make it. He had to take his pregnant wife to the doctor. He's not going to have a baby yet, but he had a normal checkup. But we just ended practice, one of our first practices. We actually have three of our players in here as well. They're excited listening to the radio station. But, again, About That Basketball, as Kenyatta was mentioning, it is a registered nonprofit organization. We teach a very intense, rigorous, and no-nonsense basketball training curriculum. There's three basic programs. One is the academy, which is more or less your camps and clinics. We also have the About That Basketball, or BTB, club team, where we'll practice two or three times a week and you know, provide the instruction and the training, and then participate in local, regional, and national tournaments. And then we also have the About That Basketball Champion, which is essentially a one-on-one instruction and offers individuals to progress on the fundamentals of basketball and excel at the next level. So one of the things that, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of AAU teams out there. The way we're different from other teams, Kenyatta was mentioning, is, again, we beyond just basketball, we want to teach kids to be successful leaders on the court and in everyday life. So we enforce that. We make sure that the kids participate within the community. In addition to the three separate programs that we offer, we have a Elevate Basketball training system. That's basically our differentiator. And what that allows us to do is that it's a module-based approach to teaching the basketball fundamentals, but more importantly, it allows us to measure their improvement. You know, okay. If you look at different coaches and their programs, you know, they do drills and different types of drills every so often, but you don't know if your player's getting any better. I mean, he may be looking better, but we have a module-based system where we can measure the overall performance, overall skill set of an individual. So I think that's very valuable.
Right.
And then,
right.
And then just another point is from the I wanted to stress the community aspect as well, and being successful outside the basketball court. Again, our primary goal is to make sure players understand the core fundamentals of basketball. But in terms of the coaching staff, I like to use the mantra that we're more than X and O's from a coaching staff. And also our players will learn. I mean, there's a difference between teaching and learning, but learn basketball fundamentals. And then also we encourage them to have high morals, have good character, and, again, be active members in the surrounding community. And the last point I wanted to mention on the in terms of the background of the company is that, you know, we want to make we're taking the approach of at least focusing on the younger kids, that's, you know, ages 5 through 10 initially, because we believe those are going to be the leaders of the future. And if we can instill in them our beliefs, our personal beliefs, our morals, you know, it'll just help out the overall community in general. So that's just general question, I mean, general overview of the company or organization. In terms of signing up, we're going to have our first actual tryouts this a week from today, Saturday, at Nobel Middle School, and it's going to be at 3 o'clock. You could sign up at tryouts.boutthatbasketball.org. That's tryouts.boutthatbasketball.org. Or you could even text the word tryouts to the number 41411. So we have some pretty cool marketing that we're doing as well. So you could text text the word about that to 41411, or you could text the word tryouts to 41411, and you'll get more information as well. So we're really excited. We wanted to get the word out to the community. We're actually running a special right now because of all the listeners on the phone. Our normal charge for the club team, it's $195 a month. But if you mention the Rodney Jackson show, we're going to be able to offer a $100 discount where it's going to be $95 a month. So, you know, for all those listeners out there that have boys and girls ages 5 through 14, I encourage you to come out to our tryouts. Again, that's Nobel Middle School in Northridge, California. 3 o'clock, we start promptly at 3. And then, again, you mentioned this show. You heard us on the show. We'll give you a $100 discount, not just the first month, not just the second month, every month. Again, we're normally charging $195, and we're going to give a good overview in terms of what that value is in terms of $195 and what you're going to get there. So there's a lot of good things that we're putting together here, and I'm excited about this opportunity. So, again, yeah, thanks for having us on the show.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you guys do this in any other states other than California?
Yeah, so good question. We do have plans to expand in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, expand in Vegas operations initially, because we just actually started the company in January. So we're actually still waiting for the articles of incorporation from the state. But
okay.
I just called them last week. They said that you should have it any day now. But yeah, once we get off the ground here in Porter Ranch, California, we're going to actually expand to other states, and also we're going to also have clinics and camps. So we're tied into a lot of experienced coaches within the community, experienced NBA players, high school players, college players, you know, all stars at that level, and we've had partnerships with them where they're going to help us out as well from a coaching perspective. And again, we'll be able to in the not so distant future have the clinics in other states as well. But, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. We want to expand beyond just this community.
It's needed everywhere.
Yeah, it's needed everywhere. About that, basketball is needed everywhere.
Well, it sounds like, man, you know, when Kenyatta came up to me, presented himself very professionally, I like the flyer, man, and it sounds like what you guys are doing is great and it's needed, because I know I can speak for myself. And now, even when I'm coaching a little bit, it's one thing to even find a place to take your kid, to get them trained. But then once you do find a place to get your kids some training or to play in the league or whatnot, you're right, they kind of get lost in the mix because there's so many kids and not enough staff. So then, you know, there's no way to see if your kid is getting better or if there's anyone in there that works within that program, if they even care if your kid gets better. It's just about kids are in there and the dollars are flowing. Then it kind of just becomes something to do. It's still a good outlet for them. But for you to have something that actually monitors them and helps them and mentors them to do things within basketball as well as outside of basketball, I commend you, man. I wish you all success in the world.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, remember,
okay,
one more time, boutthatbasketball.org, www.boutthat.org, boutthatbasketball.org. Again, you can text about that to 41411 or text tryouts to 41411. Get more information as well.
What's that?
I said thank you again. Thank you for this unbelievable platform. We are so excited about this because, again, what you were saying about with children and their parents, with parents definitely. One little story I like to say is, like, already this has been probably about a good. We've been coaching like YMCAs and different parks and rec leagues, and we noticed like when you do have a team. It was like we fall in love with our kids, and all of a sudden, 8 or 9 weeks later, they got, you know, the season's over. It's on to another coach. It's hard to get consistent continuity and be able to, you know, get like a system instilled into your child. Well, that's the thing is that the reason, another reason why I just started a company was that I just didn't want to leave it up. I have two sons. My partner here has two sons as well. My third partner actually has two daughters. And, you know, we all played basketball before, grew up with the game. But the thing is that I do believe there's a certain way that that you play the game. It's the right way of playing it. Fundamentally sound, defense first, always think about team, being unselfish. And I think that if you were to take that the basketball away and just put life into it, I'm sure that everybody that's listening would want their children to grow up and have those type of attributes, you know, being unselfish, being a team player in society. And, you know, if the world was like that, would be better. But it's constantly just wanting to constantly feed the right type of information to your kids, and just give them that outlet I like to have my child come home and be tired, you know, and they want more of this opportunity and this chance to get better. And come here, Soldier, come say something. My son wants to say something about that basketball and Reed as well. Come here, Reed.
Come on in here, son, real quick, guys.
Yeah, Reed, this is Reed, my son. Reed and Cecil, go ahead. Tell him what you would think about Bat basketball.
It's awesome, and my dad did it, and I was so happy. And there's a song to it, and I like it. And sometimes when we do games before, like in the car, we listen to it.
Yeah, we have a little about that basketball chant. You know, we always tell our kids, what you about? And their reply is, about that basketball. And, you know, we teach that with the kids. It's what you about that basketball.
That's right. That's right. About that basketball right here on the Rodney Jackson Show on the J. King Network. Give them that website one more time.
That's www.boutthatbasketball.org. www.boutthatbasketball.org. O-R-G.
That's right. Rodney Jackson Show. Welcome to my house. We'll be right back. This is Karen White with Sister Sister.
Wake up, sisters, 'cause ain't nobody tripping about what you got on. See, I should have your back, hey, you should have mine. We've been fighting for too long.
sister, Karen White. This is Welcome to My House, the Rodney Jackson Show. I'm Rodney Jackson. We got Carolyn Sherrard. And coming up shortly, we got Leonard Jupp, Pastor Leonard Jupp. He's going to come in here and put it down. I'm up here in the Bay Area. Karen's up here performing at the Razz Room, R-R-A-Z-Z Room, over here on 222 Mason Street, San Francisco, California, 94102. That's 222 Mason Street, San Francisco, California, 94102. So you're going to have two shows today. One is at 7 and one is at 9:30. We're going to the 9:30 show. We got Sabella Dell up here. We got Laker Girl. Jay's here, and probably a host of other people, but we're all staying over here. We're at the Hotel Nico. And so we're going to be rocking and rolling in about, 4 hours or so. So without further ado, Carolyn, you here?
I am.
My little love. Big Country's going to call in. He's doing, he's got a new event that he's at right now. He said he's going to call in a little bit later. But this young man, I've known this guy for a minute now when I used to drive buses. He was a hell of a mechanic. He could fix anything, just diesel and gasoline too. So we met there, and lo and behold, I never knew that he was a pastor the whole time. His name is Leonard Jupp. He's from Los Angeles, California. He's 44 years of age. He's been ministering for about 15 years. He's been affiliated with the church for 19 years. He's got 3 kids, 2 boys, 1 girl. And he was a pastor over at New Harvest Christian Fellowship over in Burbank from 97 to 99. And he's been ministering, a head minister for about 8 years now. And he's now joined the church called H-Rock. It's located 131 South St. John Avenue in Pasadena. H is in Harry, Rock, 131 South St. John Avenue in Pasadena. So let's meet Mr. Leonard. Mr. Jupp, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Meet my lovely co-host, Miss Carolyn Sherrard.
How are you?
Not bad. How are you this evening?
Very well. Good to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you.
We had it hot and heavy last week, Lenny. We had had a couple of pastors on here, and let me welcome in my chat room, too. We got Miss Jane. Colleen Moore, she's in the chat room for the first time. Callie Wood, E-Mac is in the house. Isabel and Steph, I think they're listening via phone. And welcome all the chat room, all the guests that are in here. So then what we were talking about last week, we kind of started, we were trying to find out about church in general, how it was structured. We kind of went over that. And what was funny, and even though when I was writing these questions up, we got stuck on financing. There was a lot of financial questions that seemed to pop out. But it didn't seem that way when I was writing all the questions and all the things that I wanted to ask, all the things that I wanted to know to be comfortable walking into a church. So as far as the finances, what's your take on, since you ran a church, what's your take on, and a lot of people want to know this, on tithing, when the money's come in from the members? Can you explain to me who dictates how much money is to be given from what you know about that?
Well, honestly, when you're talking about tithing, the Bible says, and it speaks about tithing all the way through the Bible from Genesis into the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Jesus taught on it, but it clearly states the tenth or the tithe is the Lord's. And so we are to give off the top that 10% of our income. So whether you give off your gross or your net, that's pretty much your own conviction between you and God, but the tenth of your income that you receive from your vocation. So if you make $100 in the week, according to the Word of God, you should give you know, 10% of that, which is $10, and the Bible says that he will bless you.
Okay. And then there was other things that we also heard, you know, some people say you just give in a mouth, it's from your heart. You give from your heart and things work out. One of the other things that I, you know, and I want to try to be just more real with you. You know, let's just bring some of the points just straight out. You know, to me, I say the churches are on the street corner. They're offering a service. You're offering a service of ministering, giving God's words. For those of us that are not able to have a Bible at all, you know, or if we do have one, we don't read it, and then we can walk into a church and we can hear from somebody that has studied and been in ministries, and you can pretty much break the Bible down to us, and that the building, it needs dollars to function. We need to keep the lights on. We have staff in here that needs to be paid. So we need for you to give money in order for us to keep going on. And is that true so far?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, the church is, in a sense, it is a business. You know, there has to be, you know, of course it's non-profit. It does need finances to, like you said, to keep the lights on, you know, air conditioning, heater, and things like that. And then also, like you said, that the service that the church offers is, of course, they minister the word of God. And but, you know, they are, it is a place of type of a refuge, the church. You know, it's where you can, not that God or the church is an escape, but it's a place where you can kind of get away and go and just get some good fellowship, you know, with some like-minded people, whether they're joyful or whether they're struggling with something. But, you know, it's a place where you can go and seek the Lord and receive a refreshing, you know, through the worship, you know, the music, and through the word of God. And then, you know, the finances also are for certain events, you know, whether you have a guest speaker, you know, or a music band, you know, or maybe a play. And so as the church puts forth different events, you know, there are needs for that also, and also for kids' classes, you know, whether they're, you know, there's a nursery or toddlers or teenagers. There's things that are needed, you know, whether it be crayons or some type of literature. A lot of churches for nursery, you know, there's wipes and disinfectant and things like that that, you know, you have a low-income family and maybe they don't have a whole lot of diapers. And so they come to the church and, you know, they can supply maybe some diapers to the family and that the baby is well taken care of at that time during the service.
Okay. So I'm well put. You kind of opened up the minds of the listeners to let them know some of the avenues that requires attention financially, and I'm glad that you said that. So I'm in the church and I'm cool and I see the people there and I'm digging everybody and you know I like the pastor, he's talking, and I think where people are uncomfortable is when they do start giving money to the church. It's not so much
right.
of the giving, but then they want to know where the monies are going, and I think that you addressed that. So now let's get over to the pastors and the staff that are on
okay.
the church. Now,
yeah.
the last show, we went over a lot of the positions and what they were to do, and then now comes the part of, we'll start with you, the pastor.
Uh-huh.
Even though I know that there's other staff positions, okay, now there's been two scenarios. I've read where in one setting, the pastor does not work. So the pastor receives a salary from the church. And I guess these salaries come from what members tithe. Who determines how much money a pastor is to receive?
Okay, now, Now, like when you first were introducing me on the program tonight, you were saying that you know, we met through work, and you know, you didn't realize that I was a pastor. There are pastors out there that do function in a job, and it all depends on how large their church is. At H Rock, it is a large church, and it's an excellent church, and so the pastor there, now I can't say what he pulls down as a salary, but that is his job. His job is to study the Word of God, so, and to be prepared for, say, Sunday service, or, you know, maybe he goes out on a missions trip. He travels, and so part of his salary covers his expenses to travel for his, I guess maybe you could call it room and board, you know, for his food and for his motel. And then a lot of times when pastors travel, they wherever they're traveling to, say you travel to San Diego or even out of the country, if you go to minister into a foreign church like that, a lot of times they'll cover your expenses, your room and board, and your food. And they'll, you can even possibly pick up an offering, you know, a love offering, where you'll receive some money for your services. But like I said, it all depends on how large the church is. But the finances are primarily for the needs of the church, the building and its expenses. And then if you are a full-time pastor, then those finances also go to your expenses, you know, your home, fuel, the different things like that.
Okay, so let me go back to my question, though. And maybe you don't know. Who determines the amount of money that a pastor receives? Because the reason I'm asking you this is for this reason. You have people that are in church that are barely making it. They go to church. But then they see the pastor, he's riding around. He's got a mansion. He's got a Ferrari, Lamborghini. He's living very well. But then you have the members of the church that are struggling. And through reading and through research, one of the things I've heard is that the monies that are given to the church, it's the church's responsibility. People on the staff of the pastor, it's their responsibility to be aware of the needy, the people that really need. And I know that that's even a task for a church, to find somebody that's genuine about what they need. Some people lie about when they say they need, as Chris Bourne stated last week, where he ran across some people that was running scams on churches. They always did it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So who would determine that, you know, how much is your salary? Who determines whether you should get $30,000 a year or $40,000 a year, you know? Where does that come from? I mean, I would like to know that myself. It's just interesting to me.
Yeah, well, it's called accountability, and that's why there's a pastor would have a staff or a board, of a leadership board, and then, you know, you would, you know, it's really unfortunate that that stuff happens, you know, where the pastor, I guess you could say, abuses his position or his title, and he does live in an extravagant house with an extravagant vehicle. And so, unfortunately, it does happen, but yeah, there's a board, and sometimes you have, like when we were in, after our time in Burbank, and we went back into Silver Lake, into our mother church, we started a board, and it was all the pastors at that time that were under our senior pastor, and there was about eight or nine of us, And so we were all accountable to one another. And of course, you know, not just your, you know, your marriage or your daily life, but you're accountable to this board concerning your finances, that there is no abuse. You know, you don't have to go to the steakhouse every night and eat. You know, you buy food, you know, just plain old common sense. You know, you live within your means, and you're not pulling money out of the church so that the church finances are struggling. You know what I mean?
So, Lenny, who's the person that would be holding you accountable? Let's say you're serving. I mean, what I'm looking for is an answer, so that everybody walks away and goes, okay, at this church, I know they all don't operate the same, but at this church, this pastor, he's the pastor, he makes X amount of dollars, and the way that his salary was determined was because of it's the position Z, Y, and X. Those three positions collectively, they determine, they have a meeting, and they determine how much the salary this pastor gets. And
exactly.
They monitor, you know, is it something that takes place like that, or is it just each person is accountable? It's just a trust system. Which one is it?
Yeah, it's definitely a system built on trust, you know, but at the same time, you know, like we were saying, you know, you have a board, and, you know, you're accountable to the board. Paperwork is laid out on the table, and everybody is free to look at the paperwork, whether it be a house note or a car note, you know, the needs of the home, you know, how much you spend on food for your utilities, you know, fuel. And so, you know, there's a balance. There's a good balance and honesty, you know, trust that you're not going to get a little selfish or greedy, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Carolyn, you have a question for the pastor?
Okay. I'm so sorry. I was on mute. I was, when you were asking him the question referring to who makes the decision about the salary. I was saying the same thing. There's a functioning board. But my question to you would be, do you have a problem with a pastor being being worthy of his honor or being paid to live not so overly extravagant life, but to live just as decent as anyone else? Do you see that to be a problem?
No, I don't think it's a problem at all. You know, you know, the Bible says that the laborer is worthy of his wage. And so, you know, if the finances are coming in the church and things are, and the church is growing and, you know, things are being handled and taken care of, you know, then the board and some of the, maybe the leaders in the church, then you can go out and then, like Rodney had mentioned earlier, that you can find some needy people and you can help out some of the needy, whether it be with food, you know, some necessities in the home, you know, whether it be clothing, diapers, even finances. Living in Idaho, we were members of a church in Boise, Idaho. You filled out an application, and I can't remember the name of the ministry, what they called it, but you were able to get some financial assistance through the church.
Okay, I have another question for you, too. Okay, to your own defense, how would you answer the question if a person who just pretty much just approached you and says, well, you're a pastor, and I don't think that you should live high on the hog. I think that you should deprive yourself and live beneath so that the members can live above. How would you respond to that question? Because, and I'm asking that because a lot of people think that pastors, just because you're a pastor, you're supposed to live poorly and you're supposed to have that somewhat of a demeanor because, quote, you're supposed to be doing the work for the Lord. But how would you steer them in the right direction to let them know or to explain to them how a pastor is worthy of, like as you said, of his works and worthy of double honor because of exactly what his job is? How would you defend yourself?
The thing that I would tell the person is that, you know, we have to get away from the poverty mentality. Oh, you know, I'm poor and, you know, I'm uneducated and, you know, this is the way I am. And so this is the way I'm going to be. You know, life is about bettering yourself, you know. I mean, and we can do it in a way to where we're not stepping on other people or being abusive and greedy. You know, God wants to bless his people. You know, the Bible says that the riches of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And so as we obey God and as we serve God, you know, as hard as it is, but we do the right thing in God's eyes. He blesses his people. He makes opportunity to make more money and to buy nice things for yourself. You know, he opens doors for raises and better jobs. And, you know, God's people are supposed to believe God in faith that, hey, man, you know, it's going to work out. It's going to get better. You know, the faith. The things that are faith is the things not seen, but evidence of the things hoped for. And so, you know, that would be my response. You know, we don't, you know, we're humble, but you know, it's okay if we, you know, get some new Levi's or get some new slacks or our wives can get some new outfits. You know, it's not a sin to treat yourself every now and then.
Right.
Right. I appreciate that.
I'd like to add, you're right, at that one thing you said about the mentality. You do see this poor mentality where people that are not doing as well, you do kind of see that, and people just kind of expect it and like almost like they want to waddle in the crap and not making an effort to get up out of it. You know what I mean?
I'll say, if I can add, and sometimes, you know, I think it's good for the people to know that, you know, there are some good, like you said, honest, humble, I mean, people who are truly serious about living a life before Christ. And for those people who are, it's important that we be a role model in every area, because if I'm saying I walk by faith and that, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ who owns everything, I'm not quite sure that I would want to follow someone who's not exemplifying or, you know, really the word is not coming alive in their lives. So what am I following if you're saying that you are the light of the world and Christ lives within you, but you're poor, you're not prosperous, you know, you're always down and out. What is it about you that would draw me to you to do the right thing, live a productive, you know, a clean life, but yet I see you prospering? Then that's a drawing card right there.
Yeah, that, you know, a lot of times that's tough for people, you know. But at the same instance, like I was saying, God wants to bless his people, and the man of God or the pastor of the church, you know, because say, you know, he's full-time, you know, if he's in prayer, you know, consistently, if he is, you know, fasting and he's serving the people, you know what I mean? You know, he's got that servant's heart and he's helping people and he's truly ministering the word of God. God's going to bless him. God is going to bring finances and going to bring people into the church. And that pastor and that church, they're going to be blessed, and the church is going to be well taken care of. And then, you know, the people God will also bless the people in the church that are giving.
Right.
Right. I got a question for you, Lenny.
Yeah.
Okay, the pastor's making money, everything, you know, they're doing this thing. How does the church make the members of the church aware of where monies are being distributed? Do they have an obligation to the members to keep them abreast of where the money is going? And if so, then how do the churches do that? How do they do that in the churches that you've seen?
There are churches, you know, like they'll have like, you know, like a bulletin board.
Okay.
And they'll post it. They'll post the finances right there. They'll have on their, you know, rent, you know, property taxes, light bill, you know, different things like that, water bill, flyers, money that they've put into missions, money that they've put into, you know, other ministries, you know, the Sunday school and toddlers, you know, stuff like that. I've seen that in a lot of churches. They'll post that, what came in, where it went out to, you know.
Okay. And as a pastor of 15-some-odd years, do you feel that if you ever were to go into a church and that was not being done, do you take that as a flag, a red flag? Is that a red flag?
Well, if I go into the church and I ask, you know, because if I don't see, say, the bulletin posted, and if I ask and then they tell me, oh, no, you don't have any right to that, you know,
yeah,
it's not any of your business or something like that, then, yeah, I would. But if I was comfortable in the church and I could see and hear where the finances are going,
yes.
You know, I would, of course, I would have the, you know, the little skepticism in the back of my mind, but, you know, I would stick around and, you know, cause you'll hear different things about what's taking place and where the finances are going and, you know, the missionary journeys and the youth ministries and youth bands and choir and things like that that are taking place. So sometimes you can just see it, and then a lot of times you'll not only see it, but they'll, you know, if they're open, they'll even, like the pastor at HROC there in Pasadena, they talk openly over the pulpit about the finances, you know, the ministry and the needs, you know, as far as utilities and different things like that, that are events and stuff like that take place in the church. So I don't really worry about where I'm at now, but yeah, it could be a red flag if somebody says, oh, that's none of your business, you know, if they come up like with an attitude.
Okay. So let's put it to rest that the financing, you as a member, if you join the church, for those of you all around, across the world, if you feel the need that you want to worship God in a church, in a building, and have a pastor, and worship with people, then one, you have a responsibility, if you're worried about that, to be aware. Let's raise the awareness as a congregation and start asking questions. Start keeping your eyes open, and your, as well as your ears, start listening and looking and ask questions and be aware. We can bring the accountability to the staff of the church. We just have to take the time to do it. And I think that that's where you'll just end up being comfortable where you are. And Pastor Jeff just said right now, if you have a church that's openly showing you rejection and giving you information as to where the finances are going, then there's your red flag right there. So I'll go ahead and I'll put finances to bed.
Yeah.
Carolyn, you comfortable?
Yes, very.
Okay, now let's move on to the other thing. every time you can go onto the internet and you can pull up all these stories about kids, people being, how should you say, fondled, raped, taken advantage of, just inappropriate sexual acts. It's from pastors, priests, there's deacons. It could even be a member in the pews. What I want to know is, why is it continuing to happen so much in our churches? Lenny?
Yeah, you know what? It's a shame that it is taking place. You know, kids are so special in God's eyes. You know, we have a great responsibility in raising our children, you know, and so, yeah, it's just really a shame that this is happening. You know, man.
I don't mean to go hard in the paint on you, Lenny. We know it's a shame. But tell me why you think it's still happening so much. I want you to go right to the point. Why do you think it's still happening so much? I know we can't stop it from happening 100%, but why do you personally feel that it's happening so much?
The opportunity allows itself to take place, you know. It's always best whether you're the setting, whether it be in a classroom or in some type of, you know, teenage, you know, teenage setting, outing, whatever. You need more than one adult. 2, 3, 4 adults, you know, you can't leave adults and an adult alone with especially one child, you know, or of course not with more than, you know, 5, 6, 10 children, but that's the opportunity when you leave one adult, you know, alone with a child or with, you know, 2, 3 children. Things are going to happen, unfortunately.
Is the fact that they're not, the churches are not able to pay enough money to keep so many people on staff at every event? Does finances play a part
no.
in this where
no.
so you don't think? So why do you think that, then why do churches consistently leave maybe one person in charge with, you know, one-on-one deal? Why do you think churches just consistently continue to do that? Is it? Do you think it's because, hey, I know Leonard, he's got integrity. I've known him for some odd years. I trust
yeah.
him. Is trust?
Yeah.
Is trust the element here. That's.
Yeah.
Got things,
and then,
got this happening all the time.
The trust is there, and you know, there's a comfortability aspect. You know, and then unfortunately it breaks down, and
we
you know.
We weren't allowed to have one adult with children. We had to have two or more
yeah.
in the classroom.
Yeah, you know, being in these churches in the Silver Lake and in Hollywood and stuff like that, there was always two or more children. Two or more adults in the classroom every time. Every time.
Okay. Two adults in the classroom with the children. So is this like Sunday school ministry? Is this what you're saying?
Sunday school through the whole age group, whether it be nursery, teenagers, you know, young children, you know, all the way through. It was 2, 3 adults all the time.
Okay.
And,
so I guess you're saying here's the solution for all the listeners that's out here listening. Hey, when you drop your kids off and they're going to the Sunday school or Monday school or just a special school outside of services, you as a parent step inside of the school and see what you see if there's two people. You know,
yeah.
where I'm ending up is make the accountability present in whatever facility that you're worshiping in. Be involved
yeah.
in that way, because it seems like all the interviews that I've done, and all the research, I haven't really gotten an answer that really makes me feel comfortable. Maybe some other listeners, maybe an answer came to them that makes them feel cool with it. But I just haven't been able to sit. I'm not settled with it. And it just kind of flabbergasts me that when you look at other places, when things happen, you know, when if they were to put a bomb to the airport and blew it up, then you will see some changes. You know, they'll have more security. They'll do something right away, and it's right in your face, and you know what the changes are. But it's just in the churches, I don't think I've seen it. I've seen it happening, and maybe something's they've done something to the pastor, sent him away. Even in our schools, the same thing is happening. These teachers, they're molesting kids.
Not only does the church have to protect itself, but in reality, it's up to all of us to protect our children. Like you were saying, take a look around at the classroom, ask a question, you know, or if you are feeling comfortable in your church, hang out, volunteer, get involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was also saying, I think sometimes because church is a place of worship and a serene place where, you know, God dwells, it's a little bit more sensitive what can happen in the church than for us to make a comparison that, you know, it's unfortunately it's a bunch of sick people out here that is happening everywhere in our schools, in the workplace, you know, a little bit of everywhere it's happening, and it's amazing that you would think that, you know, you would say, well, why doesn't the church recognize these kind of people? And just from experience, you know, in our church now, most times you work with the kids, it's unfortunate, but they do background checks, you know, extensive background checks.
Yeah.
But what about, just like at a job, the person who, quote, doesn't have a paper trail, quote, background? But, you know, we've seen these people, these coaches, they're just like generally just wonderful people. So they think, but yet they have this skeleton in the closet that comes out that nobody knows about. It's really difficult to say, why can't the church pinpoint these kind of people and figure out something to do? Yet I do understand you saying, there should be some sort of system in place that you can catch maybe as many as you can, but I don't think that there's really an answer to say that we're going to be able to nail every person to keep this from happening. If you have six adults in the class with the kids, you know, suppose out of the six, one just takes one to the bathroom, and this is just Sister Mary that seems so wonderful, and then Sister Mary gets that off. You know, it's just a hard thing to do. Like you're saying, sometimes the parents have to stop dropping their kids off and become active in the church along with their children.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
That seems very good. You're right, Carol. That really seems like that's the thing that needs to take place, because there's no answers. I have someone, maybe one day she'll come on and share her story. But in a nutshell, you know, I have a friend that was involved in a church. Now, we just get off the kids. I mean, this molestation thing is going on everywhere. It's not just churches, but it's just a trip when you hear about priests all the time. But yeah, kids are being molested all the time everywhere. Then you can go up to even the adults. You know, this young lady was having a breakup, and she was in a church, and the pastor used her weakness at the time and took advantage of her, made advances towards her, and pretty much let her know that he wanted to, you know, have sex with her. And she refused to do it, but it just kind of blew her away that, you know, this pastor would put her in that position. But just how it happened, coming in, and he invites her back to his chambers in the church. And I guess here's where that accountability comes. To me, it's like, why, you know, you have an adult, but then, like you said, Lenny, two people, not one. Why would the pastor be in there with a female by itself?
He had alternative motives, obviously, you know.
At the same time, I could see what if it was there's a term where pre-pastors can be in the room with their guests alone. It's okay, you know, and
we were always taught for be alone in a room with the opposite sex.
Right, right, yeah. And there's another solution. Hey, if you have a pastor and a woman wants to see him, who would be his replacement?
His wife.
It would. Okay.
The wife of the pastor, yeah.
Now, I read in the Bible somewhere, there was a scripture, that there cannot be a woman pastor. Is that true?
No, that's not true at all. If you read through the book of Acts, there was a lot of women that had home churches. Who's the first person at the tomb that preached Jesus was alive?
That's right.
No, it was a woman.
My goodness. If this is not...
Women cannot preach to men at home.
I read it somewhere, and I'm unprepared. Now, I'm going to have to say that now. I should be better than that as a talk show host. Forget about the reasons, but I saw it in the Bible.
So the thing is that a woman is not supposed to get up and, like, preach to the man and instruct the man on being a man. You know what I mean?
I'm going to have to find that and do a little short segment in my next show. I read it.
Yeah.
And it's where?
First Corinthians? I'm pretty sure, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
the
woman
is... Are you talking about what Paul said, women be silent in the church?
Yeah.
Yes.
She be covered.
What does that mean?
That was Paul speaking, and Paul asked permission from God to say that. That wasn't God saying that. That was Paul's words. That wasn't, if you research that and do the study, that was Paul speaking, not Jesus.
Okay. Okay, I stand corrected. I'm not going to put my foot in no cement until I know I can. But, yeah, I heard that. So what we were talking about, though, is to have an offset. If a female wants to have something addressed, wants to go to the pastor because that's who they feel most comfortable with, have a female accompany him. Yeah.
Well,
then what if you run into this, Lenny? What if you run into this? If Carol comes to you and she has something really deep on her mind and she wants to share with you, because she's been watching you, Pastor, and she's got all her confidence and faith in you, and she's comfortable with you from the words that you use and your demeanor and just your spirit. So she's confiding in you, but she doesn't want anyone else to hear. Then how do you handle that?
I would bring my wife. I would insist on bringing my wife into the room or sitting down with us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You would insist that.
Yeah. Because that's, you know, there would be a better connection between the two females,
mm-hmm,
than me and a female. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I would be uneasy, you know.
You're accountable.
Yeah, because I am accountable to God, to my wife, to my board members, you know, everybody's trusting me to do the right thing. And, you know, I don't want to put myself in any type of compromising position, even though we were talking spiritually or conversing about the Word of God. All it takes is somebody to say, hey, they were over there talking privately. Oh, I wonder. And then, you know, rumors start spreading, people start saying things, and it can get real weird, the conversations, and, you know, it's all blown up now.
Right. So would it be safe to say that when you see a pastor, and I'm not talking about confession, but
yeah,
when you see multiple accounts where a pastor is alone with another female, or even just with numerous members, could that be a flag? I'm not saying it is a flag, but potentially, would you say that that's a flag?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't want to be like legalistic or judgmental, but you know, we need to have guidelines, you know, chaperoning and, you know, like we've been talking about, more than one adult and, you know, not just protecting the church, but protecting your, what do you call it, like your reputation, you know? You don't want, you know, like I was saying, you know, it can blow up and get weird, and now it can get around the town and to other churches. Hey, that guy, that pastor, he's always around the women by himself. You know what I mean? Be really, can end up really slanderous.
What a touchy subject. It's hard to monitor. It is. And it looks like where I'm at is, it is, I had my other good buddy, he says that the penalty should be stiff, you know. They should take away the license. You know, of course, if they break the law, they're going to go to jail. But, it, you know, all in all, he's saying that the penalty should be stiff. You know, if there's something inappropriate, if a pastor is sleeping with a woman, he hasn't broken the law, you know, the police can't come in and arrest him for sleeping with a woman. But if he does, the church should act swiftly. Like in this case with Eddie Long. Let's say Eddie Long was guilty, because, you know, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, I was told that, you know, the reason why they won't take Eddie Long out of that ministry, because that ministry would crumble. People would suffer tremendously financially if they were to remove him from that church. So now he's allowed to stay, and he's some kind of a king. They crowned him. Did you see that?
Yeah.
They had the scrolls wrapped around him, and now he's some kind of a king.
Right. Yeah, you know what? And that's wrong, because are we following a man, or are we following after the Lord? You know, are we putting the man up on the throne, or is God on the throne? See, that's the wrong.
Well, that's easy,
man.
That's easy to say. I mean, that's a given right there. But what I'm saying is, who keeps those big churches going? And I heard that there's sponsored dollars from companies that churches are able to use throughout the community. There's companies that sponsor money. But who keeps the money flowing into the churches? I believe it's the members. So why does the members continue to feed a pedophile?
Right. That's because it, you know, everybody, you know, you get into like a comfort zone, you know. You get used to, you know, you eat that same hamburger every Wednesday. You know, you're so in that groove of that pastor or that teacher, that minister every Sunday or whatever, and you don't want anything to upset that.
So, Lenny, you're pumping my cousin's kid, but because something you're doing is maybe funneling money into me, I'm allowing it to keep going on.
Some people will.
Something
like that, man. Yeah, unfortunately, it don't matter.
That's sick, you know?
You know, I mean, that, like, you know, that's why I'm in this other church here in Atrock now. There was things that I saw and heard in this other church that I was a member of, and I didn't agree with it. And
right.
So, there was, you know, we lived in Idaho for years, and we come back, and like I was saying, you know, we heard things, we kind of saw things. And so we just walked away, but because being away, there was nothing that I could do. And you got people, their minds are wrapped around the one individual, you know, and they don't want anything to upset that because there's a comfort zone. They're stuck.
They don't want to look outside the box. Together.
Well, you're getting it live, raw, uncut, behind the scenes of the church. We got Pastor Leonard Jupp. Right here, on the Rodney Jackson Show on the J. King Network.
The J. King Network, where the people come together. The J. King Network, where the people come together. The J. King Network, where the people come together.
Facebook for broadcast time. We've got a variety of goodness, laughter, information,
and entertainment. The J. King Network.
Shelly Tatum, in association with 102.9 KBLX, presents Taryn White, her greatest hits and brand new CD release.
A weekend of entertainment. Beginning Thursday, March 1st, and shows on Friday, and two shows on Saturday at the Raz Room in San Francisco.
Enjoy an evening with two-time Grammy nominee Taryn White at the Raz Room. Tickets are on sale now with limited VIP seats.
So you better hurry.
The Taryn White CD release weekend at the Raz Room.
For information and tickets, call toll-free 800-380-3095. That's 800-380-3095. Shows start March 1st.
Don't miss Taryn White at the Raz Room with this exclusive engagement just for you. That's right. Taryn White down here at the Raz Room, 222 Mason Street, San Francisco, California, 94102. If you are you didn't know about it, you just find out, maybe you can fly down if you're in the California area. Anywhere that can get you here within the next couple hours. She has two shows, 7 p.m., and she has one at 9:30. The phone number over here at the Raz Room, 415-394-1189, 415-394-1189. The Raz Room, Taryn White, tonight. Welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show. We have Pastor Leonard Jupp. And we have my lovely co-host, Carolyn Sherrard. We're talking about behind the scenes of the church. We're talking about pedophiles that are within the church and what we can do to help combat these ill acts that are happening, and maybe we can reduce them. We know we can't cut them out for sure, but something that we can do to help reduce them. And I think that the way that we do that is raise the accountability. The members, we have to start calling people on the spot, and whether if it makes somebody uncomfortable or not, you just kind of have to kind of step up and say, hey, what you doing over there? Why is that like that? How come, why is my daughter or why is my son in the room with just the choir director? Why is that taking place? And that's where those communicative skills come in. You don't have to be rude and shrewd. You could go to the appropriate people, or you can go to the person that's in there. You go, I know that you're doing a good job here in the choir director, but I don't personally approve of you being in a room with, you know, just this one person alone. I think there should be more than one person in here, you know, and I would like to see that happen. Is that possible? I think that that's how we kind of help stop these things from happening, instead of just continuing on doing the exact same thing. Because if we just continue running our churches the way that we're running them these days, the same thing is just going to keep happening. The same exact thing. These pedophiles are smart. They're cunning. These pedophiles are your school teachers. They're your good buddies. They're your colleagues at work. Jeff, you remember the state instructor? I won't say his name over there, even though everybody knows who he is now. But do you know who I'm talking about? Went to the district, come to find out he was molesting his own kid.
Oh, I think I heard about that. Yeah.
You heard about that? Yes, sir. And this is a guy, I didn't like him because he was kind of arrogant. He used to come over to the yard sometimes. Remember, he used to come over into the room, and he used to say little smart-aleck things because, you know, he figured because he was working for the district that he was better than the contractors. And he came over here, and he insulted us in our training room one day. And to this day, I wish I had stood up and said something to him, but I was very close. But I just held it in. And that's what the problem is. We just hold it in. And, you know,
don't do
years
anything.
Later, you, huh?
Yeah, we don't do anything.
Yeah, I didn't say anything to him. But let alone, that was the furthest thing from my mind, that he was a pedophile. And I moved on. You had moved on. And this guy's doing well with the district, making a good salary. He's got a family. And come to find out, this cat is molesting. And I don't think it was his kid. I think it was just his wife's kid from another father. And he was molesting him. And he went home and told her. And they turned him in, and he's in jail right now.
Right.
And nobody knew.
Wow.
So we have to look at everybody in these days and times.
You know, look up the definition of the word insane.
Insane?
You know what?
Okay.
Insanity or insane?
Okay.
I believe the dictionary says that the definition is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Mm.
I think we can get caught up in that somehow. You know, we do the same thing over and over again and we expect a different result, you know. We don't do anything about some of these maybe mistakes that we're making or letting things slip by, you know. So,
are you
yeah.
talking to me from your cell phone or do you have another phone? Have the wife call in on another phone if you have a landline. It's fine. We'd love to hear from her. Tell her to call in. Don't be nervous. It's just so
okay.
We just kick back. Have her call in and press the number 1, and I'll put it right on.
Okay.
If anyone, all the listeners that are listening, if you have a question or statement, go ahead and press the number 1 or call in 347-205-9366, 347-205-9366. And let me plug in some of our shows right here on the J-King Network. We're definitely growing. And we do shows like this. We have a lot of shows that are of different subject matter. But all in all, we give good information. When people come together, you know, when they call in, we're together. And that's what this whole network model is about, where the people come together. So one of our top shows, Monday through Friday, Kings in the Morning from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific, featuring Jay King, Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, and Johnny Graham Cracker Davis. They're on 8 o'clock to 10 Pacific Standard Time. Monday through Friday. Then Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, we have The Music Business, the way I see it with Jay King. Talks about anything from A to Z in regards to the music business. Then on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific, we have The Sabella Dell Show. She started December 13th, still going strong. She covers subjects ranging from relationships to whatever. Just a laid-back type of show. A great verbal exchange on this show from every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Sabella Dell. Then on Wednesday, we have, formerly the show was called The Lighter Side. Now it's called Bod Talk Radio, B-O-D, Bod Talk Radio. On Wednesdays, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that's with Catherine Eisenhut. And she talks about her business and how you can treat your body good with good dietary supplements and a lot of things. I've run the board a couple of times. She has business opportunities, but it's a health-based show for your body. And it's every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Catherine Eisenhut, by Talk Radio. Then on Wednesday at 7 p.m., later on, right after Catherine's show, we have the Music Business with Jay again. And once again, a lot of just informational show about the music industry. And actually, I think what I've just done is I've messed up again. One of these shows is called The Way I See It, and Jay has music industry guests come on, or he's just talking about whatever. So one show is The Music Business, which I believe is Monday, and Wednesday is The Way I See It, vice versa. So when you look for it, you can go to the jkeennetwork.com, and you can see all the shows and archive, and it'll also tell you exactly which days and the titles of those particular two shows. On Thursday, we have It's All About the Music, Damn It, on Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific, with Eric McAllister. We call him E-Mac. He plays all the songs that you probably forgot about, all the way from the 70s. He says this week he's going back to the 50s. So he's going to play some music from the 60s going all the way to the 90s. And E-Mac's show is outstanding. It's the type of show where you can sit back from your computer or your phone and put it on speaker and just sit back and do some work, and you're just going to hear some music that's just going to make your heart. You're going to feel that warmth in your heart. All About the Music, Damn It, E-Mac, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Then on Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, we have the Honeycomb Hideout with Johnny Graham Cracker Davis. Every Friday at 5 p.m., I got to check you out, Johnny. I haven't heard that show yet. That show has just aired, 2 weeks ago, I believe? The Honeycomb Hideout, Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific. Then on Saturdays, we have Session of the Cool Critics with Lynn Tolliver every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard. And, of course, my show every Saturday at 5 p.m. Welcome to My House, the Rodney Jackson Show. And tomorrow, The Way I See It, 2 p.m. with Jay King. And then closing out that Sunday, you know, we always have the Laker games on the Sundays, usually, 5, 6 o'clock. Then you have Everything Lakers with the Laker girl, Stephanie Beard. She talks everything Lakers, trades, or whatever, straight basketball. We clown the Clippers, and what she calls the Flippers, but it's a good show. Comes on 7 p.m. this Sunday. Don't miss it. Join us, Stephanie Beard, Laker girl, Everything Lakers. We got Carolyn Sherrard, Leonard Jump on the line. Carolyn, you there?
I am here, honey.
Yes, ma'am. How do you feel? I'm feeling a little, after this conversation, I'm feeling a little better. Actually, the last two shows, I'm feeling a lot better about church. I'm feeling a little more comfortable. I'm feeling like it's a lot that I need to do instead of expecting somebody else to do something.
Wow. You said the magic word. I first want to commend this pastor. I think he's given a lot of straightforward, talk right where the people are answers, and I appreciate that because sometimes, you know, the questions that are asked, it's hard to give a direct answer, but I would say that he's given some, you know, as direct as possible, some good mm-hmm. answers. And what you said is the major thing. We have to be accountable for ourselves. And as he said before, who are we following? You know, if we keep our eyes on people too long, we are most definitely going to get off course because man is going to fail us every time. But we are supposed to be focused on Jesus Christ. And if we keep our focus on him, we can't go wrong.
That's right. You mentioned something, Carolyn, earlier. You said, Jesus, you were talking about faith. And when we say, what is it, walk by faith and not by sight. Am I correct, Leonard? Walk by faith and not by sight, and I do sit and wonder why when things go bad, why do we always panic and fold? But then in the next moment, we'll turn around and say that I walk by faith and not by sight, and that's not God-like. You're not following the word of God. And I also took something else from a show which was last week, or it may have even been, I was just talking with John. Pastor John Swan off the air, and I said, I can't even really talk the Bible with you, man. I said, I don't know the Bible like you guys do. be quoting scriptures, and I have a lot of studying to do, but I feel like I'm a spiritual person. And he said to me that you know the Bible more than you think, and we do. It's
right.
If you're a good person, if you've been around a lot of good people, like Carolyn, and of course like Leonard, man, Leonard has always been a stand-up guy since I met him in what, 2000. Lenny, we've been knowing each other since then. Always been a stand-up guy. I've never had an argument with him since I've known him. Just always been a great guy. People always like him. So when you've been around those people and you just use that gift, that instinctive gift from God, you are able to quote the Bible and you are able to live your life somewhat according to the way you should. But you do need that book and you do need to establish some kind of a belief and follow it, not based on what you hear, but based on what you know. Like all of my businesses that I've accomplished, it's been in mainly my school bus business. This is one thing that me and Leonard, we have in common. You know, we met in the school bus industry, and the way that I got my school bus business is it started at the same place that we worked. I got a license that I went for at Laidlaw. And it's a type of license that you keep personally. It's not based on employment with Laidlaw. I got my state instructor's license. And then I went on to meet a guy who was asking me about doing busing. I've told this story a million times. But during that period of my life, I found myself seeing the importance of listening to people, but also holding them accountable, watching them. But when I met this guy, which is Dave Orchard, when we first started going towards the venture of doing school busing, I had tons of people tell me, oh, don't mess with that guy. That guy's bad. That guy's going, he's just out for the money. Kind of like what they do to pastors. He's just after the money, and he's going to be all bad. And it was a room of 10 of us. And Dave sat us down and said, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to duplicate myself. I'm going to show you guys all how to get this business where you're going to be able to pay yourself double or triple what you make now. I don't want you just to be my employees. I want you to go out and be prosperous. 10 turned into 5, 5 turned into 3. To this day, out of the 10 to 15 people that was there, 3 of us only still exist right now. And I look back, and I didn't listen to other people. I listened to what my heart, what God is telling me, and now me and my wife, we have our business. We see some of the same people that was around when we started. And so I see some of the same people that was talking about me. You know, we're not talking about me, but telling me to not mess around with that Orchard guy. And kind of leads to what you were saying. Many people like to waddle. They still are employees. They still complain about making money and what they don't have. And now Leonard leaves and comes back, and now Leonard fixes my buses for me. He's one of my main mechanics. Without him, my business don't even run. So I guess I said all that to say stick with your faith, read your book, and do what the Bible and what your God instincts are telling you, and stop listening to people. Don't listen to people.
You know, your Christianity, you know, your walk with God, it's like anything else that you get involved in. You learn about it. You take the things that you learn and you apply them and you excel. You know, you don't just want to stay at a certain level. You know, you want to achieve something. You want to go forward, you know, just like in your business. You know, there's a lot of different things, you know, to be successful, and that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. God gives you his word, and you read it, you study it, you apply it to your life, and you can, you know, God will bless you, and you can be a successful Christian.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a good ride, Lenny. It's a good ride watching these chain of events take place And my goodness, I mean, people, yeah, I'm saying that we got to wake up. We got to, the only comfort I see is in the Bible. I mean, all these bad things that's happening, we can't deal with this on our own. This bad storm that just happened, 5 states,
right.
Killed
yep.
about 38 people, people's entire
yep.
home destroyed.
Everything they have, hey, gone.
Think about it. For all the listeners that's listening to this show right now, close your eyes and just imagine this. You're in the bed one moment. The next moment, you hear a noise that you've never heard before in your life, and your entire house comes apart, and all your stuff gets sucked up in the sky and thrown somewhere that you'll never find it all, and you have nothing. And the bank where all your money was, that's gone. Think of everything was stripped away from you. What do you have?
You have faith.
What do you have then?
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
You got them words. Yeah, it's tough. That's real tough. I feel.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Some of these stories that you see, people getting killed, or people's mother, father, everybody dying in one car, and you have nothing. There's only one thing that can get you through all of that stuff. I don't even have to say it.
Yeah.
So.
Completely out of your control, too, you know, something like that, a tornado or, you know, a massive flood. Nothing, you know, like we're here on the West Coast, man, an earthquake, you know, everything that we have and that we take for granted can be just in a pile somewhere.
I'm sitting in Hotel Nico right now. I'm overlooking San Francisco and the Quake City. Oh, and let me tell you this. Let me tell you this too, Lynn, Carol. You know, I started off saying I'm in this hotel. If this thing starts shaking, it's about nothing I can do. Nothing. I can't jump nowhere. But what if I had that knowing that, hey, there's another life, there's another side, there's, you know, dying is a graduation perhaps, you know, and I can only get more comfortable with this through my book, you know. I'm seeking it. And maybe I come to study with you, then you can help me even further my spirituality, my Bible-ness, if you will.
Yep.
But I'm out here in San Fran, and I meant to cover this at the top of the show, but it's funny to me. We show up here, I was a kid since I last been here. We fly in, and I'm just warning all of you that's going to ever come here. If you've never been here, when you do come here. We land, and then we get off the plane, and we walk, and we get the luggage. Okay, we don't have anybody picking us up. And then we weren't going to rent a car. We were told a bunch of stuff that, you know, parking is horrible and so forth. You can just get a cab. So we get our luggage. I only got one bag, one roller bag, and I got a bag on my shoulder. And they tell us, well, you can go to catch the tram to the BART train. So I get, and I have a problem with earthquakes and trains under the ground. I just don't like to do it. So we get on the tram, and we find the BART thing. We get off. Have you ever tried to buy a train ticket? Even in California, have you ever rode the Metro train?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Your wife, she ever come here?
No.
Or has she ever bought a ticket on the train?
No. Neither one of us have.
Okay, Carolyn, have you ever bought a train ticket?
Yes.
You have bought it. And where'd you buy it? Over there in St. Louis? I don't mean Amtrak now. When I say train, I don't mean Amtrak. I mean the public transit service, the trains that just move through the city for transportation, like a bus, like a city bus.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's how I get. Huh?
Yeah, not this past Christmas, the year before, we took the Metrolink down into Hollywood, the Red Line. We watched the Hollywood Christmas Parade. So, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, we're all standing around, and it looks like we got a call here. We're all standing around. Let me bring this call in. Call it 314-699. State your name, where you're from, question or statement.
It's me, baby. I got lost.
Oh, we lost you. Okay, that's what happened. Okay. So we're all at the blue line, and I'm supposed to get off at Powell Street, P-O-W-E-L-L.
Really?
There's a line. There's like three lines of everybody trying to buy a ticket. It's the funniest thing in the world. So everybody's standing around because nobody knows how to buy it. And I'm talking, there's eight people in one line, eight in the other, 15 in the other, and we're standing there. And you know it's confusing because they actually have someone there that's walking around helping you buy them. So I'm looking, I'm like, well, maybe these people are stupid, and I'm smarter than all of them. This couldn't be that hard, right? So some people, you know, some people look like they knew, but really nobody was doing anything right. So I get up to the machine, I stick my debit card in, and it says debit or credit, and you press debit. And then it asks you multiple tickets, so I'm getting a ticket for me and my wife. So I press that. And then from there, I couldn't even tell you what you're supposed to do. It has so many selections, and the lady walks over. And actually, I told her. I said, hey, ma'am, I got to buy a ticket. I don't know what I'm doing. I can feel it, you know. And so I go up, and she says, press that six times, and press that four times, and press that two times. There's no way anybody could go buy a ticket. It's impossible.
Wow.
But if you ever come, make sure that you find somebody because it's not going to go down. Now, we get our tickets. And she says, go over there, go to platform three. And really, I'm stupid because that wasn't even really self-explanatory. So we get in this little escalator. It takes you to the platform. And my wife said, okay, there it is. It's platform three. Okay. The train shows up. The doors open, you get in. You know the guy on the microphone? That's what I'm hearing. This train don't go a little bit fast. It goes a lot of bit fast. It's rolling like
right.
40. Looks like a bullet train to me. And it's very hard to hear the streets. It's very intimidating if you've never done it for the first time. So I just, you know, I figured I'd share that experience with you. It was funny to me because I was lost. I got video of it. I'm going to post it up on the website, therodneyjacksonshow.com. I'll post it up there, me and the wife, and our treacherous
cool.
train ride. What's that, Lenny?
I said, that's cool. I'll
yeah.
check it out.
Yeah, it was cool. And then we walked over here to the hotel, Nico. And the hotel is really nice, very professional. San Francisco is beautiful. I mean, really beautiful.
Yeah.
We got on a tour bus ride, and we went over to – we seen Jimi Hendrix, a place that he used to live. We went through, High Ashbury, where, Jimi Hendrix, Sly and the Family Stone, a lot of musicians where they lived. Places. We went over to the Golden Gate Bridge, took some photos and videos over there that I'm going to post. San Francisco is just beautiful. And last but not least, we had a tour guide named Willie, who doesn't speak very articulate, but he's the tour guide. He is funny, funny, funny. It's sightseeing tours. When you come down here to San Francisco, if you ever go on a tour, ask for Willie at Sightseeing Tours. You will love him. He's hilarious. And I got some sound bites that I'm going to post up there, too. So I thought I'd throw that in there.
Did you get a chance to go down Lombard Street?
Yes, we did go down Lombard Street.
The crookedest street in the world?
I remember that. Listen, I'm saying I'm telling you like I remember specifically, but I do remember.
Yeah.
I thought I remember seeing that street. Yeah, we did go down Lombard. That's up like on the north side. And I see it here on my map. If we didn't go down that street, we were right next to it, but I remember seeing it for a bit. We had to have gone down it for a little bit. And we went down to number one, highway number one.
Right.
Presidio National Park. We went down there, and we went through Golden Gate Park. we kind of did like a big time loop, and we got off at Union Square, and they got stores. We went to the Cheesecake Factory; it's real nice up in there. San Francisco, I recommend. Thumbs up. Get your wife, Lenny, and bring her down here. She deserves it.
Yeah.
She's loving me right now for saying that. Get you a flight for like $69 one way, and the $120 for two way. Get the early bird board into Southwest. Tell the kids go do something and come up here with your girl, man, for a weekend. You'll love it. Absolutely love it.
Make sure you go to Fisherman's Wharf and get a bread bowl of some clam chowder.
Get a Red Bull? I'm kidding with you. Some clam chowder?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah, you'll like
it. Is there something specific, a specific place?
No, it's just down there on the pier, Fisherman's Wharf.
Okay, and get some clam chowder. Okay. We were down there when we caught the bus. That's where we were. The tourist car, they come and pick you up from the hotel, and then they take you down there. And then you pay for your tour, or if you pay for it online, you give them a voucher, and then you get on the bus. They have a hop-on, hop-off, where you get on the bus, and you ride to the different stops, and you can get off, and another bus will pick you up within 30 minutes. So
nice.
It's a cool little deal. All right, we're about 13 minutes from closing out. We've had a great discussion here with Pastor Leonard Jupp. Got my co-host, Carolyn Sherrard. I do have a question for you, Leonard, and then I'll let Carolyn ask you the last one, and we'll have some closing statements, and we'll do what we're going to do for the rest of the day. But my question is just for the people that have their reservations about church, what would you say to them? Why should they come to your church or any church? Give them some encouraging words and make them feel comfortable like you made me today.
We go to church to serve God. Of course, man has a part in that, you know, the pastor, the ministering of the word. But don't forget, you go to church because you love God. You want to serve God, and of course, you want to go to heaven. And so that's what our main focus has to be. You know, we want to go and worship the Lord, to be in God's presence. And, of course, another main idea is, man, God loves them. God loves you. You know, Jesus died for you. You know, and so, those are the main points, you know. Go to church because you love God, you know. Of course, he loves you, and keep your eyes on God. Don't put the man, the preacher, up on that pedestal, because I believe it was said earlier tonight, man will always let us down, you know, and it hurts. But when we keep our eye on God, you know, his love and his comfort is always there.
I actually have one more question that I kind of am curious about. Us as adults, and we are adults. We don't need to be babysat.
For those
of us that take the Bible and we read it and we, you know, and we decipher it the way we decipher it, and we're all in the same church, so I would think that we're kind of on the same page. How come church is not more interactive? Why is it that one pastor is teaching to the masses of people? How come church is not kind of done as a group so that, you know, so you can get different perspectives?
People get intimidated, even pastors. They get intimidated by, you know, outside their four walls. You know, they don't want, they don't want, like, outside influences, you know. I know some guys that I was going to church with and stuff, and, you know, we all were, you know, a bunch of us friends, we were going to Harvest Bible School down in L.A., and, The pastor told him, no, you guys aren't allowed to go. He goes, whatever you need to learn, know about the Bible, he goes, I'll teach you. You know, and I don't, like I was saying, you know, it's intimidation, you know, don't want to be, don't want anybody else to rise up and learn anything. You know, there's a whole bunch of different reasons. You know, unfortunately, you know, the Christian or Protestant, you know, you got all these different, you know, you got Methodists and Baptist and, you know, Pentecostal and things like that, you know, and we pretty much all read the same Bible, but, you know, there's just little different intricacies, you know, and it separates. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, like we said, like you were saying, you know, we all can't come together and teach it because, you know, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for a unified body. So you're
not against you know, the pastor coming up reading the scripture and saying, hey, Sister Jones, what does this scripture mean to you? Because it's almost like a form of domination. You know, one guy's up there teaching and telling us how to decipher something. We have a brain, and we have our views on what a scripture means. And all the scriptures are not so much like the pen is black. All scriptures are not that descriptive. So why aren't, you know, it makes you wonder, how come church is not more interactive? Why can't more people stand up and talk? And it makes you wonder, are they trying to dominate us? Are they trying to control us? Are they trying to manipulate us? And so these are all the things that go through our minds. But you just said it. You said just go to church to serve God and let God show you the light. And if something doesn't look right, I would say stand up for what you think. Voice it. And if they don't want to address it, then I would say that's a flag. It's time to go, you know.
Yeah, you could either, you know, try to make a phone call, you know, and set up a type of, you know, a meeting or something with the pastor. You know, they should be open to that, you know, to some questioning, you know, like a Q&A session. But also, you know, when you're in a Sunday service setting, you know, that's a lot of times that's not a good time for, you know, standing up and saying, hey, this is what I think. And you know what I mean? There's your local Bible study or a local, you know, a meeting place where certain, say, out in Encino, you got a group of people, 15 people, and you all go to the same church and you live in the same neighborhood. That's a good area, or that's a good time to say, hey, well, what does this mean to you? Let's discuss this, or let's talk about this topic, or, you know, I really don't understand this. What does it mean to you? And so then you can address, you know, questions or whatever you in that type of a setting. So it's not disruptive to, you know, say 100 or 500 people on a Sunday morning service.
Right. Right. Well, Lenny, you are awesome, my man. You were great. I love your answers. I love your honesty. Carolyn, closing statement.
Well, my closing statement is, Lenny, I mean, I'm open arms. I'm giving you a big Christian hug, you and your wife. I really appreciate the answers that you gave. I think you enlightened the people as a pastor. I've come to your church. I give my life to Christ under you because it's straightforward and very well put where it's understood. There's not a lot of questions that you have to come back and ask. And me being the person that saved and serving Christ, I mean, I feel your spirit. And, again, I just appreciate you. I definitely appreciate you because, you know, the topics that we come up with and you come up with, we may not always be on the same page, but no matter what, it always comes out on top. So hats off to you. You and Iwana, enjoy yourselves. And I love you all and everybody.
Lenny, close the statement.
Say it again?
I said a closing statement. It's like before you step out the door, leave something for the world.
You know what? Let's just pray. Let's say a prayer. Let's agree, you know, in a prayer real quick. Is that all right?
Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's pray. And let's pray for those families that just had that big tragedy in 5 states. Go ahead, bow your heads, close your eyes. Take it away, baby.
Father God, we just love you, and we just thank you for your goodness and your grace tonight. Lord, we first off, we just want to lift up those that are hurting, Father God, those that are at a loss tonight, Father God. You see their hearts, Lord. You see all the struggles and the pain tonight, God. And we pray by some way, God, that you would just reach down and that you would just touch, Father God, and bring peace. Lord, we pray right now for your spirit to fall upon them, Father God, and just make a way, Lord. Shine a light in the darkness, Father God. We ask in Jesus' name, Lord, and just you see people in their daily lives, God. They're struggling with different things, whether it be addictions, Lord. You know and you understand, Father God, and we pray that your word would go forth with boldness, that souls would be saved for your glory tonight, God, and most of all, we just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and all that he has done for us, Father God. In Jesus' name, we pray these things, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Welcome to my house, the Rodney Jackson Show. Pastor Leonard Jupp, we thank you. Love to you and your family. Carolyn, love you. And remember, as always, God is first.
Here come that man. Welcome to my house.
Network, where